Good morning. Today is Thursday, June the 9th, 2016. It is 9 a.m. Called meeting order. We have Commissioner Hare. Commissioner Heck is not with us this morning. I have to leave at 10 o'clock. At that time, we would have no quorum, so we are going to try to get through this agenda, so please bear with us. First is on the agenda, legal counsel, the amendment to the lease agreement with the State of Oregon DEQ for lease of office space and the planning department. This is just a renewal, isn't it?
It's an extension.
An extension, okay.
And yes, it's a fairly recent history.
Mm-hmm.
I think about 3 months or so ago, we actually re-inked the lease, which moved this person from the state's DEQ employee from public health over to planning. And that is still Mike's thunder. I guess I can defer to him as far as the particulars on this one.
Yes, on March 16th, we had rewritten the lease because they had, in fact, moved the individual out of the health department building into our planning department building. We're talking about an extension for 2 years for the same amount, which is $88.27, and they're just leasing 50 square feet, and this is a 2-year extension.
Okay.
At the same price.
Okay. Any questions?
Fine with me, but I may need an out clause if they're not planning to move there.
Yeah, I think that's in there. That's standard. Yeah. Okay. All right. We can.
We'll find the location.
Yeah. We can put this on consent. Okay. Item 1B. This is in the matter of the regulation of motor vehicle parking on Turtle Lane.
Yes, so this is the third no parking zone that was recommended by the ad hoc group of county employees. And this didn't come through with the other two. Rob Brandis and I are still talking about how to describe this, and finally we settled on the northernmost 300 feet of Turtle Lane. So that's going to be a no parking zone.
Okay.
So to choose to approve this.
Okay, you're fine with that? Okay, we can move that forward to admin.
And the planning officer?
Yes. Okay, anything else from legal? Are we okay?
That covers it.
See, that was great. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Pardon? I don't know. It's probably here somewhere. Very. Yes, it's all the way on the
Okay.
No, it's okay. I put some stuff here yesterday.
Moving on to department updates, these are the quarterly updates, which we changed to quarterly from monthly on some, and planning is here this morning. This is your first report to the board. Welcome.
I didn't know it was a report. I actually am just here for the order.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I said that wrong.
Okay.
I was looking at the title, but yes, you're here for an order on the matter of the application for a road name change. This is the White School Road changing White House. Right. White Schoolhouse Road. Sorry.
Get it straight.
White Schoolhouse Road.
My understanding is you've heard this before. You've reviewed this before. So it was
yes.
White School Road on the flat. Public Works are not going to put the sign out there, but the locals have always known it as White Schoolhouse Road. So they're asking for the sign to be put back to White Schoolhouse Road and the fee waived. And we need an order on that in order to waive the fee.
Okay. Commissioner Hare?
We agree that this is just the formal order adopting that.
We're okay with that? All right. Thank you very much. We'll move that forward. Do you want to speak to that in
I'll
the admin?
I'll speak to it, but it could be consent.
Okay. We'll just put it in consent. I didn't know if you wanted to have anything up. Any discussion on it? Okay. Public Works. We have folks in Public Works this morning. Nice article in the Chamber News.
Oh, thanks.
Saw that. That's great.
Some of it was true.
I say calling him. Must everybody that even remotely mad at me down me.
Good morning.
Debbie on the White School, I talked to planning, too. I said we're more than happy to help with the mailings work. I mean, that's the best of bulk of the cost for them, so we're happy to.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be much.
Yeah. Okay. Order in the matter of proceeding to legalize a portion of Allen Creek Road, County Road number 3410, scheduling public hearing and directing notice of hearing.
This is a long and arduous process, as we found with the Lakeshore a couple years ago. So really there's three orders involved plus the hearing. So here we are at board order number two. This all goes back to, again, the fact that the two surveys showed a 13-foot discrepancy on where the lines were. So the survey has been done. We've got the proposed new route. So now we're starting the clock on the hearing.
Correct.
Okay.
And Richard provided for 6 weeks, I want to say, that you got in there basically. 6 weeks for in between the mailing and the window till the hearing actually happens.
We have a minimum amount of time that once the order is signed, we have to have at least 30 days for the mailing and at least 20 days for the posting on the road.
Right, yes, October 20th.
Right, so once this is signed, then the earliest we'd be looking at would be July 20th to do the hearing.
Okay.
Is this all a precursor to the Allen Creek the City project?
Right,
yes.
I think we need to also schedule a general discussion to review what Aaron has provided to me, and I have spoken with that group this week, I think it was on Tuesday. About all of that. And just some interesting revelations and stuff, so I think that would be appropriate, not during an admin meeting, but we'll come back and kind of lay this all out about how this, and this is a wrinkle that I don't think we anticipated necessarily 13 feet off, and then how their proposed design doesn't exactly match up with what the council and the board had expected to see, and what kind of mitigative measures there are.
Okay. We can schedule that in the future, but we can go ahead and move this.
Yeah.
Wherever the final design is, we at least have to have our linchpin started.
And the design is not something we have involved. We're involved with, but so what we're looking at is just
the board is.
But we're, from Public Works perspective, we're looking at just legalizing what everybody had already thought was the road.
Where's the center line so we can then start arguing
right.
over where everything else
and
goes.
Then I believe the city would buy anything additional on top to put their part in.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
All right.
That's why we list this one for you.
No, it's great.
Great. Thank you. Right. And you'll
sure.
He'll be in charge of doing that scheduling.
Yes.
Okay.
Make sure that happens.
Oh,
Trump,
yes,
are you aware of that?
Yes, I've talked to Keith and I followed up with Wolfgang. We talked to the state waymaster. They're aware. They're going to get some folks out to look down. And it's tough based on here's a picture that happened 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, is there any way to put like a sensor to tell if a truck is over the limit? I mean, you can't just look at a truck and say, it is or it isn't. Sometimes.
Short of basically, doing a saw cut and embedding a full-blown scale of the pavement, there's not really a way to do that.
There isn't?
No. In talking with Streeter and some other folks, a log truck configured like that is likely under 20 tons. But
it doesn't have a load, it is.
And it's piggyback. You can see the
folks
are by there. But we've heard lots of anecdotal evidence from folks that they see loaded gravel trucks
coming
out of there. And there's actually, we've got some markings from a truck that we know where it was identified. It was probably a year and a half ago. The Waymaster heard about that one. So it's more a matter of getting lucky and basically hoping someone catches them going over. We can post the sign on there that says no trucks, but that still doesn't.
We have a sign on there that says no trucks, right? There's a load limit sign?
There's a 20-ton load limit sign. There's not a sign that says no trucks specifically. So that's one more step we can take. It doesn't make folks necessarily any less likely to use it. But
I want to use every. I want to exercise.
Oh, sure.
Every option we have.
Sure.
Like
and
bag,
I would love to catch even one truck going over.
And then I'd like to see what it would cost for a scale. That's the only covered bridge from Mexico to Canada.
But again, with the scaling, unless there's somebody there to write the ticket,
a camera.
I'm
sure that it's possible to digitize that and figure out a way to get a camera.
Well, at that point, man, I need a scale then. Just have a camera that goes up there and takes a shot of every rig going over. And if it's a 10-yard truck that's loaded with gravel, it's over. I don't need
Absolutely.
A scale.
You don't need it.
Right.
That's true.
Right. Will you talk to the Waymaster to see what their authority is? Can they cite based on a photo? I don't know.
I would imagine they probably can.
Because of high enough they can see inside it's loaded.
You can get a ticket for...
Right.
If the camera was up in the... Peak of the eve.
Figure out a place.
Potentially, you got a new way to catch the...
That way you could see the truck.
The truck. You got to be able to catch the blazement on the side of the
right.
door.
Right, you would, too. But I'm saying if you had one there, you could see the load as well as the one that's the hiding on the vehicle.
Just like resurfacing this thing a couple of years ago,
right.
5 years ago, this is not your typical...
You get very many trucks over, they'll destroy it, even if they aren't loaded.
Mm-hmm. And the other good piece it did circle back to was in talking with county forestry was also we're going to make a better effort of, I want forestry when they sell a sale to work with the purchaser to say, here are, just so you remember, these bridges are in your path. You cannot go over them. Show us your proposed haul route to even preemptively say, don't even think about going this way.
Absolutely.
So.
And there's no, there's a speed hump on one side, but there isn't on the other side, on the approach.
Right.
Is there a way, maybe we should have a speed hump on either side? Or?
The reason for the speed hump was to get them slowed down before they even got to the deck, but the way the other side is configured, you're not having that down force.
That's true.
Yeah, basically what's happening on the other side is they're rising up to it, and then as they got to the bridge, the load was coming back down on the bridge deck. The other way is coming the other direction, so there's really not that heating effect.
It would just deter trucks, more.
Possibly.
I don't. Whatever we can do.
It's aggravating. It's
okay.
All of a half mile detour.
You could, yeah. You could. It isn't far.
No.
If you could investigate.
We'll do a look there. We'll talk with the Waymaster about the camera options starting as a chief starting point.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Did you want to speak to this one?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Put this on the admin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you. All right. HR? Good morning. See, we are moving right along.
Good
morning.
Light
done by 10. Good morning. This is a request for a position change, juvenile justice.
Yes. So juvenile justice made a change some months ago as an experiment. They had retirement that was a full-time administrative supervisor position. They replaced it with a slightly lower half-time position and then increased one of the POs from 0.6 to full-time in the hopes that, well, can the administrative task be sucked up? And it isn't really working very well. And so what Jim would like to do is change one of his POs that are currently in place to a PO supervisor to offset some of that administrative burden that isn't being able to easily be accomplished with his experimental change. There is a cost to it. However, he's been quite frugal with his contract services, so it is well within his budget based on the amount that he's currently spent to be able to pay for this change.
$400.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, no problem.
All right.
Next. Oh, yeah. It's an administrative item, so yeah, we have to.
And then who will speak to it?
We'll figure it out. Keith really should. He'll be, make sure that he knows he should speak to it.
Yeah.
Okay. He's the liaison, right? You're not.
I'm not liaison to juvenile justice. No,
I thought it was him. But
the only part of public safety.
Never miss a meeting. You'll get.
We can give him all of it. No, I just have the sheriff and the jail.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Board administrative secretary position.
So there's currently an open position for the board administrative secretary, and it's kind of now's the time to look at is that the best choice, or is there some other options we could look at? So
here I have kind of a challenge in filling that position. Wendy, planning on joining me for this? Are we going to have a longer discussion or set this over for a discussion, a general discussion? Because I have some feelings on maybe ways we could better organize the efficiencies of the office. That
did you have a draft?
I don't have anything proposed formally. Mine is just kind of speculative that we are having a challenge of filling a position. I think that there probably are, and I've talked to Wendy a little bit about this, but not a lot, with the idea that, and we investigated this 3 years ago, of a different way to do capture the minute. It seems as though the ladies are spending an inordinate amount of time drafting the minutes after all of our meetings.
I've asked legal if we can go to just the tape without them having to be here in these meetings. I think we need to have someone at the other one, but I've already asked legal to check into that and see if we can just use the tape. For these meetings.
The business session, but all of our other meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm never going to reference, the only thing I would reference is the motion. That's all I ever have referenced, is what was the motion in a meeting. Because everything else really doesn't matter until you make that mm-hmm. decision. But if I wanted to hear the discussion, I'm not going to go to the minutes. I'm going to go to the tape. And we have recorded all of our tapes and archived them. I think you can only get access to recording for a year back from where we're at or last year, but that's for me, that's the record, is the recording. So I think that's a perfectly legitimate question, and maybe that changes the workload. I know that there's a coverage element, and we discussed, I think it was something we came up with 2 years ago, was saying there's maybe administrative help within the ISF budget that could help in the event of, you know, both of the ladies are out sick or on vacation or something, and we need the office open. I think that might be a more practical solution of that cross-training element in ISF. Those are just some suggestions. If they don't work, then we got to do what we got to do.
Right. So have you drafted up anything?
No, I don't have a proposal because it was more in the brainstorming.
Okay. Yeah, because I have asked legal to check into that to see what are the legal requirements for us documenting. Is this tape sufficient for these meetings? I would think it would be because lots of quasi-judicial and even courts have gone to this without having.
I think one of our concerns is that from a practical standpoint, it's not searchable yet. Eventually, it will be. I'm sure that they're going to figure out the technology to go through a voice and, you know, control F, find every time, you know, blah, blah, blah says whatever. And you'd be able to skip the way you do in a text document. But that would be the challenge for me is if I wanted to go through something. But you'd still be able to have a weekly business session. Then I think those should stay away the way they are.
Right, that's what I've said. I don't want to change that. But.
Okay. Well, let's just keep looking into this.
Okay. Yeah, I just made that request last week. So.
Great. You know, another option, if it turns out that that's not applicable, is we could look at outsourcing the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pay a company, here's the recording, give me minutes. And I don't know what the cost of that would be, but it might be more cost effective than.
We looked into it 3 or 4 years ago, and it was not cheap, but I think we looked at it comprehensively, all of our meetings, having somebody else do the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick, like when you get your code codified, how you want it to look, how detailed, whether it's a transcript or whether it's just general, very brief. I think we do the WBS in-house, and we do the other stuff, and they can be very brief, is my opinion.
Yeah, the only thing probably that would be required would be, like you say, the data at the front end to make sure you have the date, time, location, right?
Mm-hmm.
And present, who's present,
mm-hmm.
and then motions, and then discussion from the governing body. Would, I think that was required, as I remember. But anyway.
What led to the decision?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can get that. One of the challenges will be that we have to recognize those who speak. So
yeah, the names,
you know,
would be on there.
Announce, who spoke. Not every time you speak, I don't know.
Oppose or support an issue. Right.
I think we can work it out. So,
those are some options.
Yeah. We'll look into it, see what our legal requirements are.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Next is
building and safety position.
And actually, Robert, do you want to come on up for this one? You have some better insight than I would have.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you found greener pastures, huh?
They found me. I wasn't necessarily looking.
Oh, well, they're very fortunate and far lost. So,
yeah.
Wish you luck.
I was giving them a particularly hard time of, we just, you know, we just started.
I just met her for the first time just now.
So. Yeah.
We're just crossing paths, so unfortunately.
Yeah, we can't win here. It's just out of control.
No. Okay, so what is the plan, or what is the proposal here?
From my perspective, is I'd just like to get a little clarification on where the board would like me to go when it comes to recruiting for Mr. Rice's replacement. So really, we have a few options. We could just say status quo, hire a new director, great. We have, let's take building safety, put it under community development, and hire an inspector. Cause, I mean, I think Robert's he's the prototypical working manager. You are in charge of building safety, but your day-to-day, most things you're doing is going out and inspecting. So, I mean, that's an option. A third option is look at potential outsourcing. So those are really the three options that I can think of.
Or a hybrid of the two.
Yeah. But ultimately, our director is going to know in his idea what would be efficient or not. And I just didn't want to. I mean, I could recruit for all and then wait till you make a decision. It makes more sense for you to say, this is what we'd like to do, and then move forward.
And there's another element of what are we doing in term of whatever proposed solution that we're going to do eventually. That might be a contracting element because we are not going to have any one of those proposed solutions really filled
in a week.
Yeah. Whether we go with the community or new director or we're going to have something in the interim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the if we were to go the route of putting building safety under the community development and planning department and we hired an inspector, I know that you're at a very high level of proficiency. That's why I said it's going to be our loss and somebody else's gain, but but you are at a very high level of proficiency. So finding someone to do inspections, how long would it take for us if they don't already have those types of qualifications or certifications, would it take for us or for them to get that? Because I know you've been working on this a long time.
So I brought this document. So I can kind of give a preface to that. As you're aware, the state codes are adopted through Building Codes Division in Salem. And then a local department, a local jurisdiction, can start a building safety program and administer those codes. So there's some connection directly with Building Codes Division as far as our authority, and a building official is required. Okay. So the building official could be more administrative or more technical certified to do inspections and plan reviews. There's just a lot of mixtures out there. But you're required to have a building official. Mm-hmm. They require us to actually submit a plan to Building Codes Division. That's why I've given you a copy of this that describes the whole program, and they sort of have to approve our inspection program. And this is kind of a thick document that we provide to them that says how we run our program. But I'm giving you this because also it talks throughout this thing about the role of the building official. So there's a number of items in here.
That's the title they use. Excuse me. That is the title they use, building official.
The code says building official. Okay. So in Josephine County, we happen to call that position building safety director, but it's the building official. So I think even in this document, I think building official is referred to 98 times or something because there's code references and things in here. So that's just kind of your background as to what the building official does. And then back in Appendix E, is some language directly from the code describing what the role of the building official is. So that's just for your reference. And if you have other questions once you've looked at that, I'd be happy to answer those. But in terms of how a jurisdiction structures the building safety department, public works, planning, those type of things, by and large, the model is pretty much what we have. Is building safety is a separate department from public works, from planning. And there's a lot of reasons for that. It's been tried a number of different ways, typically in failure. And I've got a lot of books and references and documentation to talk about the different models and the challenges with those. Simply stated, one of the advantages of the way we've got it is there's a sort of a division of authority, a separation of powers, if you want to call it that, that building safety, for the decisions that we make day to day, we really need to have some autonomy in making those decisions and not maybe under public works or some other conglomerate. It becomes really quagmire for the user.
I don't want to interrupt or counter that, but I've heard a number of times from the client's perspective that it's confusing, and even confusing for our employees sometimes about who has jurisdiction. A lot of times, maybe more so between planning and public works, but it'll be, that's a building and safety issue, that's a planning issue, mm-hmm. and floodplains, for instance, or something like that. People want to think that it's one or the other. Having it under one roof, you can't escape it. You can't say, that's not our issue, that's public works.
Yeah, I understand. I don't necessarily disagree with that. But that can also be taken in a positive sense. When they go to planning, for instance, planning is the floodplain administrator. So it's clearly within planning scope to say it's in the flood, it's out of the flood, whatever. And when they come to us and want to know that information, we say, no, you need to go talk to planning. That's planning's decision. Once they come to us with planning's development permit or whatever, we look at it, say, planning said it's in the flood. We go from there. So it's a clear division, and I think you may get complaints about, well, I had to go to planning, I had to go back up to building safety or whatever, but the decision process is very clear, mm-hmm. and it's very straightforward and works very well.
Okay.
We're not going to make planning decisions, and planning shouldn't be making building safety decisions.
Right.
They're a really different animal. You've got land use, and then we're looking at the buildings. There's a clear division there. So, and obviously no disrespect to Public Works or planning or anybody else, but you know, that's a really good model, and it's efficient.
Yeah.
And then once they've got their development permit from planning and they're done, step two is us. It's just kind of a clear path. So I think if you really investigated people's experience,
sure.
You talk to some of the home builders and different things, I think they like the way it works.
Likely cursory types of complaints.
Yeah, the ones you're going to hear is, well, they had to go back down to planning. And
over to Public Works is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You know, and they're being told it's a 3, 4, 5, and by the time they get there, they've got to come back tomorrow.
And following up on your previous action of approving that DEQ has an office in planning now.
Right.
That's huge.
Yeah,
and ideally, Public Works would have a representative. We'd all be in the same building.
Yes.
So that geographically,
exactly.
We're all right there.
We're not staying 20 minutes
yeah.
across town.
So I think that's some of the things that you may hear. Okay. So I had to go back to planning. I had to go back to Public Works.
Well, yeah.
If we were all in the same building, that wouldn't be an issue, and it would work very well.
Okay.
So
I have a quick question. So in cities, it's pretty common for the community development director to also oversee building safety. But I know the planning aspect of what cities look at is different than counties look at land use versus more building use. Is that something that, I mean, the logistics of that works within cities? Is there some reason why it's more efficient in cities and not in counties?
Maybe. I can't speak to that. But the bigger the departments are and the more moving pieces there are, say if you had a city and they had a community development department, they might include, what's the term I'm trying to think of, getting businesses to move to the
economic
area.
Development.
Economic development that's tied to Public Works, that's tied to planning. So that layer sort of kind of keeps all those under an umbrella, even though each division works differently.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we have that
moving
need.
To that model, though, in a degree. Of a one-stop efficient shop for especially the commercial element, in my opinion. I mean, that's why you kind of reorganized community development. Didn't have that, but putting it in planning, having one location is a goal of ours, you know, because we're going to have to move from the Dimmitt campus. But maybe now isn't the time. Maybe when we do the move, that makes more sense.
I guess my recommendation would be if you're considering those type of adjustments or reorganizations, I would recommend that be a future conversation later for somebody, because it is going to involve a lot of discussion, a lot of moving pieces, and a lot of probably study and research into what other communities have tried and done and failed. So I would recommend that you probably not consider
that. We
want
to
be
diligent with that. We just have an opportunity. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make a opportunity out of your leaving to reassess how we've done things.
Well, I think we need to look at the Appendix D and the Appendix E,
yep.
and review those carefully, and see if that fits in with what we're looking at.
Something.
Yeah, I don't want to be negative toward an approach where you do have some more cohesion between the departments. I think that's warranted. But placing the building official's role underneath some other department, I think, would be a very negative move for the users and for the process.
Can we talk about potentially, I mean, we already are contracting with the agency that you're going to work with before or head up.
That's an interesting dynamic.
It is. I don't think it's that challenging, though. I think it's actually a positive to have you in that role, being intimately knowledgeable with what kind of services Josephine County are going to need. We need to figure that out, and that isn't something that I want to shy away from. We need to address it head on and figure out what we are advertising for, what are the skills that your office can't provide that we have to find in-house, what are the consistent things that we need, what services can your organization provide, because we have an existing contract and it's worked pretty well. I haven't heard any complaints. It seems to work really, really well. I'm going to say it again, I'm a Yellow Book conservative. If there's a service that's being provided out there in the public, I know you do, your agency that you're going to work for provides for Phoenix and Rogue River. Is there a building?
Phoenix, Rogue River, Jacksonville, and Eagle Point.
So smaller municipalities, but still, nonetheless, I think that is an element that, for me, factors into kind of a consolidated. If you have a contractor who's providing this, it's just one more piece of the pie, the puzzle to make it all fit. And I want to advertise for everything. I think JJ said it. We can advertise for everything, and if we ended up only needing this, then we just hire that. But advertising and recruiting takes so long. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be false to anybody, but everybody knows that you may or may not get a job out of it. But I just want to be proactive, because at the end of the day, I don't want to be that building director or something like that. I want to get that role as filled as possible and all the ducks in a row, because this is the construction season. People are wanting, you know, to get moving, and the last thing they want is to be held up because of their inspection. So whatever we can do to accomplish that.
To first answer that question in regards to what services the other company can provide. So we've had this company in Medford area on contract for 10 years or so. It's been a long time. So there's certain things in our department that we need to do that we don't necessarily have certified people to do. That would be particularly commercial plumbing, commercial electrical. To find somebody with those, you're hiring a person and not needing them very much. So it doesn't make sense. So those kind of things, it's more efficient to have them pick that up for us. And then overflow stuff. If, you know, I've got one inspector, one plans examiner right now. If the inspector's out, we call them, hey, can you do inspections for us today? So they come over and fill in that gap as well. Or if we have plans that are you know, large enough that are going to consume all my time and I can't get to everything else I do, I'll send the plans to them. They review them, send them back. So that's worked that way for a number of years. There's a balance there, obviously. At some point, when you're using the third party so much that you could justify another position, then it probably makes more sense to add another inspector or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that needs watched as time goes on. The immediate change will be what I'm taking with me, I guess to say, is the commercial certifications. Right now, the plans examiner and the inspector are certified or are getting certified to do most all residential, including electrical, plumbing, everything. In a couple of weeks, the new plans examiner starts the electrical program. It's like 14 weeks. And so they'll be pretty much up to speed to handle most of the residential. But once I leave, there won't be anybody on staff to do anything other than residential, commercial, whether it's the new Dollar General or whatever's going in. So for the immediate future, that will need sent out to somebody. Long term, I would recommend that your best bet would be to advertise for a building official that has commercial experience to basically refill what I'm taking with me. That works well. The commercial stuff is sort of a higher level complexity than day-to-day residential stuff, and there's a lot of decisions that go along with that. So even currently, if I send a commercial plan to the third party, when I get it back, they've just basically done a code analysis. They haven't made decisions. They've just said the plan is missing this, 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 and this. This looked good. Here it is. They hand it back to the building official. The building official then has to figure out how do I proceed with this and what decisions do I have to make. So even though some of it could be done out of house, it ends up back. Somebody's got to make decisions on that. So
that leads me to the question of who in the interim, if we don't have commercial certification within house, is going to act as the building official in your absence. I mean, I appreciate you giving us 30 days. We're already to the 9th of June. There's going to be a gap for sure. And I don't think it's fair to an applicant to hold up a commercial application on final inspection.
No, I don't perceive I don't foresee that happening.
Okay. An interim building official is what I'm looking for. What is your answer to that?
Yeah. So there are resources available.
Okay.
Obviously, if you continue to use the third party that I'm going to work for, when we offer the services back, we're going to give as much guidance and as much input back to whoever is there to sort of guide them along.
Right.
And there's a lot of communication among code officials, statewide as well as regional. We have a chapter. We get together once a month, and we all know each other, and we all help each other out. So there's resources just to be able to call somebody, whoever's here, to call somebody who does know the answer. So I don't know that will be a critical matter. It'll take some work and some effort. But in the interim, like I said, Building Codes Division requires that you have a building official. So, but they're perfectly understanding that once a building official leaves, you're kind of left in this gap without one. So if you appoint a interim acting building official or something, say the inspector that's here currently, say, well, you're going to act as building official and make the necessary decisions until we fill the position or whatever.
You've also mentioned that there's a capacity at the city. There's two inspectors over there. Is there commercial inspecting? I mean, if we need an interim director in your department, is there somebody there that could rely on them?
And like I say, we all know each other.
Yeah.
Ken and Tom at the city, and Tom used to work for us, and so there's a community, I guess, that way. So you've got a couple options. One would be to, let me back up. A couple years ago, when we were really short-staffed, I actually formed an IGA with the city. So in addition to the third party that we use, we've got an IGA with the city as well. So we could ask them for assistance, but I know they're really busy too. So that's one option in the interim, is to discuss it with the city and say, can Ken Sandlin, the building official there, sort of act as our building official if needed in this interim. So that's one option.
I think it's really important for people to remember that the building official is different than planning in that you're applying state building code. So it's not as though there's necessarily a specific building code that's different from the city and the county. And I did explore with Aaron just the option of an integrated somewhat, with the city and the county. And I don't think they're terribly receptive. We had this conversation 3 years ago. You don't have a financial need in your department. It's very stable. The fees are set and you're paying for your operation very, very well. So it's not like we're trying to give the city something that's debt or not making it financial. So I think we'll work it out. I think you've got a really good plan and strategy. I appreciate that you've thought about this a lot. You're not just kind of like, see ya, good luck with that.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Well, I've invested 12 years here.
Yeah.
And I appreciate my time here, and it's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So we kind of have a strategy. I don't know if you have any.
Well, I think what we need to do is review this and perhaps schedule it on a joint discussion next week, so we can come back informed after having read it. And the sooner the better. General discussion. Today's already Thursday, so what general discussion do we have next week?
Tuesday.
Is there one Tuesday?
Tuesday, there is a presentation from Mike Walker's public safety report.
How much time is scheduled for that?
I don't know how much time he was told.
I thought he had already done that.
Mm-mm. Mike Walker.
Yeah, who scheduled it?
Wendy.
Okay, let's just make sure that it's around half an hour, and we'll...
And then we can discuss this as well at that same meeting. Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah, put that on top.
I'd like it on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. I do too. I want the sooner the better, so...
Mr. Rice, are you busy? Are you available?
Next Tuesday?
At about 9:30?
I would have to check. I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay.
But one other item I want to throw out in regards to building codes division, there's the person I mentioned to you the other day, Tom Phillips. He's kind of the regional governmental relation director kind of thing. So he's the go-to person for these kind of questions. He's more than willing to come down. He's going to be down here on the 23rd, but that didn't work out. But he'd be more than willing to answer questions relative to the role of the building official. And he also would have a lot more experience about the other 130 whatever jurisdictions in the state as far as what works well, what doesn't, and those type of things. So, and I can get you his contact information.
Okay.
It's Tom Phillips.
Yeah.
With Building Codes Division.
Okay.
Very helpful.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
And he's the former building official at Salem, so he's very well versed on the building official role as well as being at BCD now. So.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Any other
Bless
questions?
Thank you.
So moving forward, I will do. I will actually have proper posts for both positions so that we have them out there and we're not waiting.
Thank you.
And then ultimately, what the board decides next week or whenever it is, we'll pull whichever ones we're not doing.
All right.
Positions being
inspector and building official.
Okay.
So.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tuesday. Reading material. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Rice.
Building maintenance. Quarterly update.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Mr. Walker, do you have to leave at 10 or do you
have to leave at 10?
Okay.
I have to leave at 10.
Okay. nothing real pressing. The Washington Annex Community Corrections roof went out for formal bid yesterday. So in the next couple weeks, we should have a contractor, hopefully, and I'll be bringing a contractor.
And which building is that?
The Community Corrections.
Ooh. Okay.
Been in the queue for 3 years to get
that. That's a big roof.
Big roof.
It's
not going to be cheap.
The contractors aren't exactly sitting on the promise.
No.
Yeah. It's actually been quite a challenge trying to get contractors in, even to give us bids.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of the bids that are coming in are just huge numbers. They're throwing out huge numbers and hoping.
Yeah, because they don't know. Well, they have plenty of work. So.
Yeah, so
okay.
There isn't any absolute dire need to get that roof repaired this year, is there?
No, we probably could go another year.
Okay. I don't know if it's going to get any better next year, but.
Yeah. From what I'm hearing, it looks like there is a few reputable companies that are willing to take it on and get it done for us. We'll see where they come in on the bids. There will be a prevailing wage,
you know,
and the cost will be a little higher than we initially budgeted for, but not too much more.
Okay.
So, in the next couple weeks, we'll be tearing the awnings down on the commercial building at the fairgrounds, get that started, and try to get it complete for the fair.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd be
great.
The CAD CAM only is almost done. Just finishing up painting and doors, those type of things.
The cattery?
The cattery.
Yeah. I don't think people appreciate how much you guys do all over the county because you don't have a concentrated facility that you're maintaining. It's all of these annexes all over the place that need constant attention. I just really appreciate all that you do. I think that's one reason why it's important to have everything run through you as far as efficiencies of this is, I need this little thing and that little thing. Well, they add up in every little building, not to mention then you have the albatross of the jail sitting out there that's just one big challenge after another.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we keep busy. That's for
then
sure.
You get the fun stuff, pieces of the rock.
Pieces of the rock. Might be a later conversation than tight on time today.
That's okay. We'll make it.
We're out of medallions to make the pieces of the rock. We have a few options. This is what we were using. What we could have made up is similar to this. It doesn't have the, you know, the pop, the shine. We can do the logo.
Oh, you can.
Yep, and then they can trim it with a brass ring or something to make it bigger. The biggest issue is they want a minimum of 150 pieces, I believe. We don't have 150 pieces of marble.
No.
So we're going to have some.
So you can't get those made without having the marble?
Well, we make all the marble.
Right.
We cut it, polish it.
They're making an order on the die.
Right.
Yes.
We still have 150 pieces of marble, so we need to have a supply of marble. I imagine that's how it happened when we inherited, you know, 150 of those medallions, and we're getting down to the last five.
Yeah.
Who made these before?
On a good day, yeah. Yeah. I think it slipped through the cracks on how many we actually.
We don't know.
You don't know.
No, but we know, right?
No, that's the mystery. So, yeah.
So you've checked with different companies about reproducing this already?
Yeah. Hmm. So we can get it pretty close. It'll look good. But then we will have some waste. And then the other option, this is not, you know, by any means a high end plaque.
Composite. You know, we don't give out Christmas bonuses of any kind. We don't do anything. And this is the small, keeping anybody around for their 10 or what do you have to do? 15 years? 15 years to get
10.
10 years?
10.
Minimum of 10 years
yeah.
in order to receive a piece of the rock.
I don't like this.
Yeah, no, very, very cheap.
Kind of the same. It has to have some sort of a momentous type of a deal to mean anything. I think talking to Commissioner Doug Robertson and Jack in Douglas County when he retires, he had a bin full of plaques after 33 years of service in retiring. One of the things that really meant the most to him was a piece of the rail. So when you are a board member and you retire from the ONC board, you get a very thin slice of an actual ONC railroad rail. They cut it and then they, that's something. It's got to be a piece of something that's legitimate. And even purchasing marble is not exactly what everybody else has gotten. They've gotten pieces of actual marble from the courthouse, a piece of the rock.
Are there any closets that still have marble in them in the courthouse?
No, not really.
Bathrooms?
Anything we can turn into a closet?
Yeah. One of the candidates is the men's restroom here on the first floor. It's got holes all over the place.
But there are pieces of good marble in those old marbles.
Yes, that we could cut out of it. So we've been looking at renovating that bathroom. It needs it.
It definitely needs it.
So,
yeah, it does need it.
Yeah.
I've been checking it out.
And we do have some marble that's been left out in the weather.
We could salvage something out of?
Yes. Over time, the pieces of the rock have become highly polished and, you know, perfectly square and everything. If we went back to more of a rustic
rock style,
you know, jagged edges, chip edge, I prefer it.
It's a little cheaper. You don't have to have the marble.
Yes. And we can come up with a lot closer to the 150 if we go to more of a rough song piece of the rock.
So what does it look like?
It would. Everyone would be different.
Well, let's investigate that. Let's aspire to getting 100.
Does it look like kind of like a hammered edge? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it'd be more like a chipped like a edge. Because a lot of the marble.
And it could be lightly polished so that it's.
We could.
Okay.
Maybe we can make one up.
Let's see how that work on this.
That sounds good.
Thank
you.
Short and sweet.
Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Let's skip forward to 4B, the resolution and the reappointment to the airport board.
Yep.
So that we don't get that done. That is because that term expires in June. And that is. Pardon? It is,
Mr.
no?
Black.
It's just one.
Oh, it's Mr.
Just
Black.
To reappoint Mr. Black to the airport board.
Sure.
For a 4-year term expiring the 20th. So, you okay moving that one forward?
Yep.
Okay, we can move that forward to the consent. Okay, finance report. I have to leave in about 10 minutes, so if you can make this really quick. Am I hurrying you up? Is that any pressure? No pressure.
I'm feeling it. So, there's so many things that are still at loose ends, so I don't have anything to bring to the board for any kind of decision or debate, because I'm still working on what you've got, what you've given me so far. But two things I wanted to say. We're closing finance tomorrow. We're getting new carpet, so we're moving stuff out today. And by the end of the day, it'll be ready for the carpet folks. This has been in the works for a couple of years. We were scheduled to get new carpet. Should complain to Ryan. But
it's all on purpose. You were scheduled for new carpet when I got here, I think.
And we deliberately.
When you're moving stuff out yesterday, I looked at that and I go, ooh, how awful.
One of the real challenges is, besides it didn't keep up very well, with the wrinkles.
Yeah. Well, we tried to clean it, or I should say building maintenance tried to clean it, and with this style carpet glued directly to the cement, it either cleans real nice or it creates wrinkles.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. And then the grant accountant starts on Tuesday. So Monday we'll be putting the office back together, and then Tuesday we'll have our grant accountant on board and start integrating him into the workflow.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to put him in the safe, or you're going to around the corner?
No, with the new configuration, we'll have four workstations across the back.
Oh, good.
So
good.
Where we it will be all the configuration.
Yeah.
Look nice.
Yeah,
great.
That's good. Thank you.
That's it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's just move I had on here the strategic plan for economic development. That is, I think you sent out a copy, right, to everybody? Okay,
you
so
no, I'll have that reviewed by next.
Okay,
week.
So we can talk about it next week.
Yes.
Okay, we can actually at the general discussion on Tuesday, because there's not really anything. I just need to have any input. If there's anything, you can just put it on paper and give it to me at that meeting.
So just general discussion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
And that way, if you have any, what I need is if you review it, have any suggestions, questions, comments. That I can take back to them.
Absolutely.
So you just put them in writing and give it to me at that meeting.
No problem.
Okay. All right. It is 9:52. Julie, would you just wait a minute? I want to talk to you a minute before you leave. Sorry about that.
Do you still have time for something? I just wanted
to.
Do we have a response from this letter that we sent to the members of the delegation, Oregon delegation, the Bureau of Land Management suitability report on the 63-mile segment of Rogue River.
No.
You sent a letter on behalf of the board.
Have had no response.
Okay, I just wondered.
Yeah, no response whatever.
Okay.
All right. Okay, it is 9:53, and we are adjourned.